human effort can be used for self-betterment, and that there is no such thing as an external fate imposed by the gods. The Yoga Vasistha. Welcome to this week's episode of Warfare, Advancement, and Revisionism. My name is Preston Floyd, and as always, I'm your host. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me this week. If you're a newcomer, please feel free to peruse our backlog of episodes, and if you're a returning listener, thank you, as always. Your support means a lot. This week's episode may be a little bit shorter. I am fighting off some type of cold or something. I've been stopped up pretty much all weekend, so that's not been fun. Also, I'm trying to get this recorded and edited and ready for post before the Super Bowl kicks off here in the U.S., so please bear with me. I'm going to try to get us at least 20, at least maybe as long as last week's episode, maybe a little bit shorter. We'll see. But to that end, we're going to be talking about the sites and peoples in the Indus Valley region between 6 and 4,000 BC, BCE, whichever you prefer. After that, we'll probably start to move south toward the Deccan Peninsula, and then east to the Gangetic Plain. But that's, again, probably going to be next week's episode. It's really going to depend how I'm feeling. So, last week, we discussed the sites of Kiligul Muhammad and Tukau, their material cultures, and the links between those material cultures and other neighboring sites in the region of what will later be called Baluchistan and what is today Eastern Afghanistan. Now, I think I mentioned it, but I just want to reiterate and make sure it's clear. At different times, all these sites may or may not show more material overlap with larger, more influential, or closer neighboring sites. Some of them are just doing their own thing, though they probably have some level of interaction through trade or raid or what have you between each other. And Marigar is thrown in there too. And Marigar sees interactions, you know, with all these sites too. And sometimes they're influenced by it, despite being an older, you know, larger settlement for most of those things. So, and the same thing is true with the Indus River Valley sites to the east. And when I say that, I mean they have connection with the material cultures of Marigar III, the Kiligul Muhammad, and the Tagal sites, as well as with each other. And then, in some cases, it's not much interaction. Though during this season, there isn't a dominant material culture along the Indus. Though by the end of the season, we do see some local innovations that kind of presage the rise of a few centers of what will become the Indus Valley or Harappan civilization, as it is also known. And the reason for this is due to the region's environment. It's almost kind of the inverse of what you might expect. The Indus Valley is much more fertile due to the numerous rivers, streams, and all that kind of stuff belonging to the Indus River system. And this led to a large number of smaller village-sized settlements rather than a few town-sized settlements that you see in Baluchistan. And due to that, the fertility and the well-watered land, you don't need as much labor to produce a food surplus. So there was less of a need to form larger communities. Remember, most of human history up to this point, or this season really, you rarely saw groups with over 100 members at a given time, or 100 to 200. And groups that were that large were rarely permanent. So you probably saw, or what was probably happening, and what we can see archaeologically, that there were strings or clusters of villages with probably loosely related groups within somewhat close proximity to each other. And this was probably supplemented with other populations of nomadic pastoralist groups with similar ties. Some of these sites we'll be talking about were maybe settled permanently for a period, then they were abandoned and just used as kind of temporary or seasonal camping sites. Some are temporary or seasonal camping sites that will eventually become permanent settlements. It's kind of all jumbled up. Also, the timing on some of these are a little iffy. Some are, founded, quote-unquote founded, earlier than others. Some see use, abandonment, and then re-inhabitation. And that's all stuff that's kind of hard to parse out. It really isn't until urbanization kind of gets to a region that you see these smaller sites growing to larger permanent settlements. And even after this process starts, you still don't see smaller settlements disappear completely. In fact, in a lot of cases, you'll see more of them pop up, and others will grow into towns or production centers or things like that. Now, all that said, there are a few permanent sites that do grow into towns or proto-urban settlements in a couple of locations in the broader Indus region, though some may not grow to that size until the very end of this season, or they're building up to it and they'll reach that very early next season. And some of them will continue to grow. Others will fade away or not last that long, or they'll be abandoned for sites close by that are more suited to their growing populations. Two of these are near the modern city of Islamabad, which is the capital of modern-day Pakistan. These are known as Jhang and Saraikala. They were kind of built between the Indus and the Khorang rivers, or at least those are the two largest rivers, and there's some smaller streams and rivers between those two. This area is on a kind of a upraised plateau called the Pothohar. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, but apologies, I do not speak any of the local languages, so I may be butchering that, and if I am, I do apologize. Now, much further south along the Indus, you have a few sites popping up, around four or five, that make a decent impact on the archaeological record. You have Aladino, Amri, and eventually, though not quite this season, is Kat Diji. Now, these are kind of the furthest south that you would go and consider this region, like the Indus River Valley. I know I talked about two sites last week that are part of the Togau. These were the sites kind of to the northwest of what is now modern-day Karachi. These are Balakat and Tharo. But these sites here in the south, this will kind of be the region for one of the first two material cultures to emerge in that are, I guess, what you would call native to the Indus River Valley. And one of those is Kat Diji. That is not founded this season, but it is the type site for the material culture that's discovered. And it emerges really kind of at the very tail end of this season. I think the site that it has been found at, or the oldest site that their artifacts have been found at, is called Kunal, which, interestingly enough, is not actually found in the southern Indus Valley. It's actually in the modern state of Haryana in India, which is more, I guess, to the northeast of where we are now. And it will, basically, its influence kind of permeates the very westish, very east ish part of the Indus River Valley, and it kind of moves around the sites to the north that we'll go back to here shortly. And it kind of creates kind of like, I guess, the eastern and southern border of what will become the Indus River Valley civilization. But this is called Katdiji material culture because Katdiji is the material site. And in fact, this may kind of be one of those outliers. I'm not sure. I haven't read too much up on Katdiji because, again, it's mostly concentrated in next season. But this could just be, okay, this was the first site found. But actually, most of the population, you know, associated with this material culture could be very much to the northeast. The sites further north along the Indus River Valley are not actually on the Indus River itself. They're in kind of that middle section between the Indus and I think it's the Sutlej River. There's a couple of them. There is Jalapur and Harappa itself, though Harappa is not found at this season. It was probably used before it became a permanent site, but these are very, you know, limited. So it was probably one of those either seasonal sites or it just wasn't occupied for very long. But Jalapur is around 43 miles or 69 kilometers to the northeast of the modern city of Multan, right near the Ravi River. And this will be kind of the heartland of what's known as the Hakra Ware culture. And this is like one of the big precursors to the Indus Valley civilization. And this is kind of like the central, spine of the civilization, if you will. And like we talked about last week, unlike Baluchistan, which is, you know, scattered by hills and mountains and very short seasonal rivers, the Indus River allows a lot of back and forth between these sites. It's why you kind of see at different periods, different locations kind of fall under different amounts of sway between these material cultures. And eventually it does allow them to kind of converge into, again, the Harappa civilization or the Indus Valley civilization. Though again, that's all stuff we'll talk about later. Now, there are a few other sites to kind of talk about that are associated with this kind of period of Indus Valley locations. And that is kind of the furthest to the southeast is it's Surkotada, which is actually, I think it is, if it's not in modern India, it's right on the border. It's on that little Ran of Kutch area of India, so like that little kind of upturned turtle shell that we've talked about, I think, season two. That may have been last season, though. So there is that one down there, and that's kind of on its own. That's kind of like the end of the Neolithic for this season. The Neolithic lifestyle doesn't penetrate much further down that way. Then you have a cluster of sites further to the northeast, and these are all around the Gargar River. Now, that river has dried up a lot, so it's not nearly as long as it was in the past. But these would be kind of between the Gargar River and modern Delhi. And these are Banawali, Rakhigari, Mithal, and Kalibangan are the sites that, or that's the modern name for these sites. Now, we're going to go over some of the differences because, honestly, there is a lot of overlap in terms of technology, like the basic technologies between the Baluchistan section in the Indus Valley region. The agriculture economies are very, very similar. They have a big emphasis on cattle at this season, and then going forward, at least for a couple of thousand years, cattle's more prestigious, I guess, or at least more important. It seems to be more important than just growing crops, though. Again, growing crops is important, and it becomes more important as time goes on. Craft activities are, you know, developed at this period. So there are, if not full-time, at least part-time specialists. And you do see a very highly, you know, diversified and variation in the types of pottery being created. Though, again, both regions, very similar. They have, you know, a lot of the same forms between the two. However, the Indus Valley sites do tend to have some variation and some, you know, some unique things that don't show up in Baluchistan, but do show up all along the Indus River Valley. And these are, there are what you would call, I guess, dish stands. They have lids, like they create separate pottery lids. They also have vessels with like two sets of lips, like on, you know, opposite sides to facilitate pouring, or maybe like a kind of, you know, two sides to drink from. Also, their terracotta objects are different, not in terms of how they're made, but I guess what they favored. They preferred different types of terracotta goods. And this is something that increases as time goes on. As time goes on, they have a much different variety of things that you will see, you know, further to the east, or excuse me, further to the west. One thing that they do is that they also have less stone beads in terms of jewelry. They prefer shells, which makes sense. They're closer to water. They have more shell stuff. They also will make terracotta jewelry, or not jewelry, but decoration over. They prefer that over the precious stone. It's probably because they didn't have as much precious stone. It was probably more valuable, just as a guess. They had access maybe to more flint. Their flint blades are a lot larger than what you'll see in Baluchistan, but the rest of their stone tools are very, very similar, even through, you know, later periods. And eventually, as time goes on, crafts will become more intense in the Indus Valley. Now, part of that could just be, hey, we have more examples of Indus Valley stuff later. There's a lot of excavation still to be done at the Baluchistan site, so we may find things that go a little bit later that, you know, kind of show like, well, no, there weren't more intense. There was probably just more people living in Harappa. They could probably support larger specialized classes, but that's still, you know, that's still up for discovery. But it wouldn't surprise me from what we've seen. Copper does not reach here this season, but it does get to the region very, very shortly after this season ends. So within the next 100 years or so, you'll see copper beads, and then, you know, that'll mature into bronze objects and things like that. One thing that they have access to in the Indus River that probably isn't quite as available in Baluchistan, at least at this earlier phase, is wood. They are closer to forests, so they probably have some wood artifacts that, you know, have degraded over time. You know, dried up, burned up, what have you. Also, another key difference, and this is something that's happening at the very, very end of this season, and it's one of the big distinctions between the two regions, and it's something that's just going to get even more pronounced when we start talking about the Hakra ware and the Kot Deji phases, and that is the pottery. The pottery produced along the Indus River Valley is what's known as redware. That is due to the color, whereas the pottery being produced in the Baluchistan to the west, that is referred to going forward as grayware, and that is the base color. Some of these were probably painted or decorated in addition to those base colors, but just due to the makeup of, I guess, the clay that they're using, the color is very different. So that is one of the big dividing points in between the two regions. And that's how you can kind of tell, well, this pottery is gray, so it came from either, the Kiligul Muhammad or the Togaf or the Togau phase, and then you have, well, this is red pottery, so it either came from Hakra or it came from Diji. And then there are other things that kind of separate them, but that's all stuff that we'll talk about next season. It's obviously, this is very early on. I do think one thing is the pottery wheel shows up very early in the Indus Valley. So that's probably something that they adopted and from the Baluchistan region. And then they were basically, once they got the pottery wheel and they began producing their own items, they're producing them with local materials and they're producing it very well, very quickly. So you don't quite see the rough development that you saw in those other places. These people have at least a passing knowledge of how to create, decent pottery right at the start. But it's not a lot of it until, again, next season. So that's another big difference between there. In terms of housing, very similar. Mud brick, mud and grass mixtures. That is something that that you do see between the two regions. That's a common point. Now, I think eventually the baked mud bricks become much more widespread, and that's something that shows up next season as well, at least in the Indus River Valley. Those are kind of the highlights. Those are the big differences. The Neolithic is spreading into the area. There are still hunter-gatherer groups nearby and interacting with them. There's trade to both the east and the west. I don't know that southern India or artifacts from southern India have shown up. I haven't seen anything stand out. That will change next season, I believe. But that is not apparent at this season. And that's probably not because they're not interacting. It's probably just because, that is what, they're probably not interacting. There's a lot of difficulty with travel between the two regions. It's much easier to travel between the Indus River Valley and the Ganges Plain to the east. So I think most of the trade to the south doesn't really pick up until like towards the end of the Harappan phase, or at least the middle part of the Harappan phase. I need to double check that. I'm not 100% sure. We'll cover both southern India and the Ganges Plain area for the next couple of episodes. Those are kind of, again, the highlights that I have right now. This is actually a region that's very mysterious in terms of the archaeological record, or not in terms of the archaeological record, but in terms of like the historical record. We have been able to decipher scripts and things like that from, the Sumerian period, and we can kind of get hints of what they thought their past was, or what their past actually was, and it's just kind of carried along orally and things change. But unfortunately, the early traditions of the Indus Valley are still a mystery to us. We know they had writing. We have found that script. But unfortunately, we don't have dual languages written down, at least that we're able to determine. And that's how we were able to translate Sumerian. We found, later languages using the Sumerian script, co-written in other languages that we did have access to. So unfortunately, the past and the mythology of these people we're not 100% sure on. There are theories, and we'll go over these at later periods when it becomes more appropriate. But there's a lot we do not know about the Indus Valley civilizations and their precursors. But due to the nature of the region, it grows in population extremely quickly. And that's something that we'll see. There's an explosion of urban city sites, very much more than what you'll see in Sumeria, at least in terms of total population. The number of cities may be, I don't think they're comparable. I do think the Indus Valley has more. And they certainly had bigger populations overall. Like, I think, like, you know, pound for pound, the Indus cities were all probably fairly large, whereas the Sumerian cities, some of them were massive, but then there were some that were not quite as big. But that's all stuff we'll go over later, and I'll double check those numbers, but that's just me going off the top of the head from what I've been reading in a couple of sources. So thank you all for listening and joining me. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope I didn't miss anything. I'm racking my brain as I go through it, but the allergy medication I took is starting to beat me here. But yeah, if you do have any questions, comments, constructive feedback, any sources you'd like to send my way, please let me know. You can contact me via direct message on Twitter /X. You can contact me via email at waradrevpod@gmail.com. You can comment on the YouTube videos. You can come on YouTube while I'm streaming. You can say hey there. I appreciate all that kind of reaching out. I do love to hear from listeners. Thank you all for joining me this week. I hope you have a good rest of your day and week from whenever you're listening to this. And I'll see you all next week, where we'll continue our Indian subcontinent section of this season. Thank you all. Goodbye.